sounded good. You harmonized it. I was in there, and I thought, there's not many people missing. And there was a whole lot. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you did a good job, and I appreciate it. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, would you please turn with me to some verses of Scripture as we pursue what the track that God has us on. We all want changes in our world. We want changes in our nation. We want changes in our lives. We want to see changes in our families. We certainly want to see changes in this little church. We want to not have an us for and no more attitude. Amen. We want to grow, but we want to grow by being fruitful in God's kingdom and seeing people come to know Jesus Christ. But while we're in that process, we are not waiting for many others to join us to reach out through the means that God has given us. That's why He's given us radio, and through radio He's given us the internet, and He's given us a minister of media sitting right here that I'm so glad is taking all of this. I could never handle all of that. I'm not. I can do a little bit on the computer, but God has anointed and appointed Doug Herring to take care of that. He certainly has. And he's got a vision for it. And he's a media missionary. And in these days, I have no doubt if Jesus could get his message up on the internet, it would go. Praise God. He would use every means. He told us to raise our eyes and look upon the whole world. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you could look through my eyes, if you could see what I see, saith the Lord, you would see that the harvest is ready, yea, to be reaped. You would see the potential that you have. You would see my hand upon your work, saith God, and my cooperation with my spirit to get this great work done. For if you have a heart to see others come to know me, you will have all of my resources, yea, to do my work, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Amen. I like that about Jesus. He gets involved when we get our hearts set on not just building something, a credit to our success story or whatever, amen, a symbol of our success, but when we really want to see people come to know Jesus as their Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you're back tonight. I assume that you're hungry for the Word of God. Amen. Well, I am hungry for Him as well. I don't just preach here and proclaim things here. I am hungry for righteousness in my own heart and in my own life. Amen. I want to see prayers answered. I want to see people come to know Jesus. I want to be able to intercede effectively. Amen. And so I want you to turn with me to some prayer scriptures once again this evening, if you would. And if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, I want to make a statement as I read something very, very familiar to most of you here. We learned it when I was in school in order to get a New Testament from the Gideons. If I could say the Lord's Prayer, I could get a New Testament in school. Can you imagine them giving you, letting the Gideons come in and reward you with a nice New Testament if you could recite the Lord's Prayer or the 23rd Psalm? I got the Lord's Prayer when I was in the second grade. Got the 23rd, got a Bible by reciting a New Testament from the Gideons, and once again in the sixth grade, amen, I got the, and all of us did that could recite it, for reciting the 23rd Psalm. That happened not in Sunday school, that happened in public school, amen. And that doesn't happen today in public school, but God was gracious, and He still is. Can you say amen tonight? Praise the Lord, amen. Prayer is personal communication with God. I want to say that before we read, to put a setting over what we're going to study tonight. Prayer is not just a formula for getting things from God. Amen. It is a means of establishing and walking in a relationship with Him. That's why it doesn't begin with petition. It begins with acknowledging a relationship. When the Lord's Prayer was taught, it was taught to begin with the acknowledgement of a relationship that God wants with us and that every one of us should have with Him. That's why it was a given in the New Testament. That's why James 5:13 says, is any afflicted? Let him pray. Have you got trouble? You've got a relationship with God. You should be on speaking tongues with on speaking terms with him, amen, and you should be able to talk to him and get an answer from him. And not just an answer. Again, the chief end of prayer is not to just get an answer, amen, but it's to enter into the presence of God and commune with him. And many times the peace that you need to relieve the pressure of trial and test and trouble comes in his presence. For in his presence, there's fullness of what? Joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Can you say amen? So immediately there's a relief from the pressure of the problems and the circumstances of life when we enter into God's presence. If we can't enter into God's presence, then prayer is just a means to getting God to do something about our circumstance. And God said, I want to do more in your life than just take care of the circumstances you're in. I want to do things within you. Can you say amen? God always wants to establish his people and work within us for spiritual maturity and growth, not just to answer prayer so that we don't have any pressures and problems in life. He wants to work a work within us. Can you say amen? All right. Having understanding that makes all the difference in the world. They ask him to teach them to pray in Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 5 and listen to his answer. He said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they might be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut to thy door, pray to, and here's the first mention, listen, for every time that it says Father, and I want you to just say after me when I say Father, amen, I want you to say intimacy with God. Will you do that tonight? Amen. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut to thy door, pray to thy Father. See, it didn't just pray to your God, but pray to your Father. Because prayer, God has set it up this way, Brother Taylor, so that faith can be exercised in the context of intimacy with God. Because not only do you get the answer that you need according to the will of God, but you establish and reestablish, if necessary, that relationship that is so easily broken by the busyness of life. We just get too busy to maintain and sustain that spiritual relationship with him until trouble comes. Have you ever noticed that trouble has a way of either defeating you or deepening your relationship with him? If you turn to him in trouble, it will deepen your relationship. Amen? I heard, I think it was in Pakistan, a Christian family had a six-month-old child that was lost to some kind of disease. And another Christian came to them, and he told them, he said, trials like these, heavy trials that make you question like these, is like dropping a boiling egg into water, or an egg into boiling water, and a potato into boiling water. An egg will harden in the boiling water. The potato will soften in the boiling water. And he said, you're going to have to decide whether you're going to let this trial harden you or soften you. Amen? And if God is allowed, if we soften before him, God will work a work. That's when he brings to pass all things work together for good to them that love him. If it softens us and makes us more pliable in the hands of God, then God can work a work within us in spite of what the devil meant against us. Amen? So I guess a question by the end of this service is going to be, because you can't escape the trials. We're all going to get in the hot water from time to time. Can you say amen? The question is, are you going to emerge a hardened egg or a softened potato? Can you say amen? If you decide to let it soften you, like, are you going to be a hard-hearted Christian, a hard-headed Christian? Or are you going to be a soft and pliable in the hands of God? Amen? The Bible said to think it not strange, the fiery trial that's come to try you. Everybody say the hot water. Amen. Don't think it's strange that from time to time you find yourself in hot water. Amen. I heard about your problems, and I thought Terry's in hot water. Amen. And not to mention the other water. Can you say amen? He's got a septic tank that has just been a thorn in his side, not to mention his house. And it's just been one of those things that you think you got fixed. You do your best to fix it. Amen. And when it backs up and comes, I mean, I'm not talking about rainwater. When your roof leaks, you got a problem with rainwater. When your septic tank backs up, amen, it's something else. Can you say amen? It's not like that. I tell you, it's different. But he's here tonight. He could be home saying, you know, I've just had it. There's no need me going to church. There's no need to keep on praying. How many times is this that that's happened? Enough. Yeah, that's what I thought. Amen. Once is enough. Can you say amen? But I know it's more than once. And it comes in the house, and then you got to get it out of the house, and then you got to bleach the house, and then you got to try to get the aroma out of the house. Can you say amen? It's always something in life. Things for Christians don't go smooth, and for everybody else, they have these rocky roads. I started to tell you something this morning, because if you're looking for a smooth path, you can't follow Jesus. You just can't follow him. But the Bible said in the Old Testament, God would make our feet like hinds' feet. He doesn't always take away the steepness of the circumstance, but he will make changes in us. Primarily, he wants to make changes in us. And these young deer, particularly the mountain goat type of animal, he's designed for the peaks. Can you say amen? He lives in the peaks. I've watched them on the Discovery Channel. They are designed. Their feet are designed. He can jump from ledge to ledge and work his way up into a peak that the best mountain climber couldn't possibly do. Because God has designed him for the steepness. He lives in the high places because God designed him for the steepness. Now listen, if you want to mount up with an eagle and go to those high places in God, you're not going to get it by having an easy life. Can you say amen? You're going to get it by being challenged in life and find out that his grace is sufficient. And that in prayer you soften before him. And he works his work, and his eternal purposes are accomplished as we are yielded like putty in his hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Somewhere up in Georgia, a radio minister preached that message, I will make your feet like hinds' feet, and I will cause you to stand. One translation said, I will cause you to make progress, not stand still, but to make progress, even though you're on that steep place. Amen. I will make your feet like hinds' feet. Somewhere up in Georgia, a country preacher on the radio, he didn't get the scripture right, but he had faith in God right. Amen. And he said, he will make your feet like hens' feet. You remember that story? He said the rain can come, they'll roost in a tree, and the rain will come, but their feet are designed to lock around that limb, and the winds may blow, but them hens and roosters will be sitting there the next morning after the storm, because God will make your feet like hens' feet. And he said, so when the storms of life come, just get a hold of the Word of God like that hen gets a hold of that branch and just lock on to it. Amen. And the winds will blow and the rains will come. But after the storm is past, you'll still be standing. Can you say amen? He will make your feet like hens' feet. I'll never forget his message. It really built me up, even though he didn't have it right, but he had it right in here. Can you say amen? He said, have you ever seen chickens out in the front yard? You don't see a thing to eat. But they're out there, when there's nothing to eat, they're designed, their feet are designed. They start scratching in the dirt, and they find things to eat that you can't see. God's designed them. He said, when it looks like that you're spiritually empty and there's no way to be fed, amen, he'll make your feet like hens' feet, and you'll get in the Word of God and just start scratching up good things out of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it wasn't biblically accurate in terms of the interpretation, but his heart was in the right place. He was preaching faith and the faithfulness of God in his Word. Listen to me carefully. God has designed prayer, amen, to change us initially. Not the circumstance at first. Amen. What happened? Nothing changed about what was going to happen to Jesus in Gethsemane. But something changed in Jesus in Gethsemane. Because he said in that, he softened, didn't he? Nevertheless, Father, not what I will, but what you will be done. And he set his face like a flint. No matter what comes, what goes, I have set myself to do the will of God. I will not deter from it. I will not consider anything less than going completely through with my assignment, what I came here to accomplish. If there's any other way, let this cup pass, but nevertheless, not what I want. Let what you will be done. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the Bible said that angels came and ministered unto him, and for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross while despising the shame. He wasn't praying, amen, to get out of it. He was simply praying to a God that he needed to support him and sustain him. And God supported him, sustained him all the way to Pilate's hall, but he couldn't go with him to the cross because he that knew no sin became sin for us, as if he had sinned, literally. Amen. That we might be made what, church? The righteousness of God in him. I'm so glad that he set himself like a flint, because they screamed at him on that cross. They chided him. If you're the Son of God, come down and save yourself. If you're the great physician, save us. One of them crucified beside him said. But Jesus hung there, not impaled by nails. Nails couldn't have pinned him to that cross. He told Peter, put up your sword. I could call thousands of angels. I could destroy this godless world. Amen. But he didn't. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. Aren't you glad for a Jesus like that? Amen. When thou prayest, pray not as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you pray, enter into your closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, intimacy with God, which is in secret, and thy Father, intimacy with God, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father, intimacy with God, knoweth all things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, and it begins with our Father. Intimacy with God. Can you say amen? You can't say this with understanding without clearly perceiving that God wants intimacy with you. And some of the people that found intimacy with God through that is, it would probably surprise you. Douglas MacArthur, a general that felt like he was a man of destiny during World War II. He said, by profession, I'm a soldier, and take pride in that fact. But I'm prouder, infinitely prouder, to be a father. A soldier destroys in order to build. The Father only builds, never destroys. The one who has the potentiality of death, the other embodies creation and life. And while the hordes of death are mighty, the battalions of life are mightier still. It is my hope that my son, when I am gone, will remember me not from the battlefield, but in the home, repeating with him our simple daily prayer, our Father who art in heaven. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So much teaching just teaches us that prayer is a means of getting the answer, and the release of our pressure and our problem is getting that answer. God just simply changing the circumstances. Prayer is meant to be more than that. That's why God designed prayer as the primary means to utilize our faith, because prayer involves intimacy with God, fellowship with God. So many things will disqualify you from prayer if it hinders that intimacy and that fellowship. Can you say amen? We got idols in our hearts. God said to Israel, the covenant people, if you've got idols, I won't hear you. The prophet can't even intercede for you until you cast down those idols in your heart. Can you say amen? Unforgiveness. He said, if you don't forgive men, the Father, who you need desperately that intimacy with, will not forgive you. Can you say amen? See, coming to God in prayer means coming to God for cleansing. Some people wait till the communion service when we read the part about drinking and eating unworthily, in an unworthy manner. Amen. But this goes beyond those scriptures. Amen. This is more powerful when it comes to cleansing. Who, if I regard iniquity in my heart, thou, O Lord, what? He will not hear me. That's why David's prayer for a clean heart, amen, meant that I can now reestablish relationship with him. Once I reestablish relationship with him, I can pray and see those mighty deliverances of his. Can you say amen? But it begins with reestablishing relationship. And that's a matter of the heart, not just using faith when we pray. Can you say amen? Faith is an ingredient. But from what I read in here, it's not such a great ingredient in prayer. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could see a mountain removed. So you don't need a mountain of faith to move a mountain. You simply need, as we said this morning, faith in God. Can you say amen? So it's a lot easier to have faith in God than it is to establish and sustain a right relationship with him. We live in a fallen world. You live in a faulty body. You have emotions. Amen? There are going to be people that push your buttons from time to time. And everybody's got buttons. And I'm not asking you if you got an innie or an outie. You say, I got an innie. Nobody can push my button. Amen. No, it's not that kind of button. Amen. There are things that's going to get your goat. Let me tell you something about the devil. He knows where your goat is tied. Can you say amen? And he knows how to get it. And he's always got somebody that can push your button. Somebody's going to push your button. I'm glad I worked for 12 years after 25 years of full-time ministry, and then I spent 12 years working in the secular, not that I was doing anything wrong. I was just working a regular job like the rest of you. I had to leave clergy world and go out in that other world, amen, where all those people were to push my buttons. And I got my buttons pushed regularly. I want you to know that. But my prayer life was more important to me than any kind of bitterness or any kind of vengeful attitudes that might get down on the inside of me. However, one night, I remember I didn't hit or slap or curse anybody. But I did kick over a plastic tub for holding bottles. I did kick it over. Amen. It just built up and the buttons all got pushed. And I felt like I needed to do something with all of this. And I don't want to blow my testimony, but I didn't figure it'd blow my testimony too bad if I kicked over this tub. So I kicked over the tub. I don't guess anybody's ever kicked anything or hit anything or threw anything in here. Amen. But I kicked over. I don't guess anybody's ever honked their horn at somebody that cuts you off in traffic. Amen. I don't suppose that's ever happened. I know you just kept your cool and went on. No, there's things that happen in life that pushes our buttons. Can you say amen? And God knew it was going to happen, but he said when it comes to your prayer life, you can't afford to let your emotions, amen, get the best of you. We were built for relationships of love and trust with one another, and there are going to be people let you down. There are going to be people turn against you. There are going to be people hurt you and make you angry at them for hurting you, amen. And God says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, amen. Don't let 12, it's not 24 hours, amen. The sun does its thing within a 12-hour day. As a rule, so don't even let 12 hours go by before you operate in forgiveness. Why? Because if you don't forgive men and their trespasses, the Father can't forgive you yours, and you can't approach the throne of grace while not showing mercy. Amen. Can you say amen? Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain what? Mercy. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might obtain grace. And the other thing that we need, mercy, to help us in the time of any need. When you pray, you have to pray to a God that accepts you on the finished work of Jesus and not on your merit. And in order for that mercy to flow, you have to be merciful. And mercy isn't for people who deserve it, and neither is grace. You just give it. You say, Brother Bimbo, they don't deserve it. Of course they don't. You didn't deserve saving either. But he heard your cry, and he saved you. Amen. And you can't operate out of that realm with him. It's a matter of the heart. God wants intimacy. Whatever puts that in jeopardy, then the Lord says, you've got to get that out of there. If you get into unforgiveness, that it grieves the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the mediator, not just of the power of God, but He's the mediator of the presence of God. The Bible said when He comes, He will testify of me. And that's not just tell you that He's there. Amen. It's to manifest Him in your heart. Manifest Him to you. Can you say amen? He will acknowledge the presence of God. When you cry, Abba, Father, that intimate of all intimate phrases between anyone and God that only Jesus could use, we're able to literally cry that before the Lord. Amen. Because of that new relationship we have in the new covenant. So He designed prayer to be the primary way that we receive the needs in our life. Because He knew when we come to Him in prayer, we're going to get more than just our needs met. We're going to get that need met that is more important than all the other needs. And that is the need for a fellowship relationship with God. So is any afflicted? Have you got trouble? In the New Testament church, it was a given. Let Him pray. Today we've substituted the altar for a vast amount of counselors on staff that have been to somebody that's given them the psychology. You know, we try to figure all of you folks out. Amen. And there's a standardized test that I could hand you tonight to see what kind of to see how to come at you with counsel. There's a standardized test that tells me if you're an A personality, a B personality, a C personality. You answer this list of questions and I've got you all figured out. Amen. All I need now is some bread and mustard, you know, to put that bologna on. Can you say amen? Amen. You're too complex for anybody to figure everything out about you. I'm not saying they don't do any good, but there's a God who knows you, amen, inside out. He knows you from outside in and inside out. He knows the number of hair upon your head. I saw a pastor cartoon the other day kind of about that. It was about pastors and stuff. And there were two angels, amen, that were standing there. And there's this big, burly guy. And he didn't have a lot of hair on his head, but he had a whole lot of hair on his back and chest. And one angel was looking over at the other, and I said, he only wants us to number the hair that's on his head. Can you say amen? What a relief it is. Don't bother counting the rest of them. But a God that's intimate with you. I'm glad that, you know, we're not just grouped and lumped into a group here tonight. When you go through your trial, see, God may do something else to get my attention. He may not have to back up my septic tank. And Lord in heaven, I hope He doesn't. Can you say amen? But He knows that's going to get Terry. It's going to make him hard, or it's going to make him a potato or a boiled egg. And since he's here tonight, I'm assuming he's going to be a potato. Praise God. And God is not only going to fix your septic tank somehow, some way. Praise God. And the other stuff that we won't even talk about here that you're being tested with right here, right now, some of the heaviest tests they've ever been through, they're going through right now. And I'm praying for you. Praise God, because the softening, amen, is something that God monitors. Praise God. Amen. No temptation is taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. And He gets personal, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, who will with the temptation. I don't know how it's going to come. I don't even know when it's going to come. But a door of escape is coming. Can you say amen? That you might be able to bear up under it and still give Him the glory. Hallelujah! I believe that tonight. He designed prayer that when we come to Him, we don't just get answers, we get Him. We get Him. Somebody said, if you're sitting in a snowbank and your battery is dead, you can pray for Him to start your car. And if He doesn't start your car, be assured He will come and sit with you until the tow truck gets there. Which would you rather have? I'll test your maturity. Would you rather have Him just crank your car and you tear off? Or would you rather sit there and have Jesus just come in and sit down beside you waiting for the tow truck? I'd rather have Jesus waiting with me for the tow truck than to not have that experience with Jesus. Can you say amen? Sometimes when God delays the answer, it's because He wants to give us Himself as we pray. Because we pray more fervently, we pray more frequently, we enter into our closet. What happens? We have intimacy with God established, and that's what He wants, is intimacy with us. Can you say amen? And in that intimacy, we begin to feel that peace come upon us without the answer being realized or seen yet, but a peace begins to settle down on us. Have you, amen? When the peace comes, then that panic-stricken attitude of, oh God, you got to do something and do it soon, that leaves you. And you say, Lord, I know You're in control. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know what, I don't know where, but I know this. How do you know that? Because His presence is right there with you. And I'm not talking about the liver shiver. I'm talking about something deeper than the liver shiver. I'm talking about a peace that begins to descend upon you. Because in His presence, you begin to roll over your cares onto Him. Hallelujah. And you know that you know that you know that somehow, someway, someday, God is going to bring you through. And He gives you the courage and the strength you need for Him to work His plan while you wait. And they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Mount up, renew their strength. Thank you for getting it right for me. Renew their strength and mount up. We don't want to try to mount up without being renewed in our strength. We'll flop around like an old chicken in a hen yard. Can you say amen? And we don't want to do that. We will mount up. We will renew our strength. We will mount up. Everybody say mount up. You don't have to do this. It's too silly. Amen. I'll start laughing, lose my seriousness. We will mount. Go ahead and do it. You're good at it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I should have used you for the illustration. I wouldn't look so foolish. Amen. I do this now that I'm on a monthly, you know, a check comes from Uncle, well, whoever sends it. Amen. Now that I'm on Social Security, I hate to admit it, but amen, I do this. Matthew comes in. Amen. And I say, Matthew, you know what day it is? I go, he said, the eagle flies today. I said, you're exactly right. The eagle flies today. Amen. We each take it the first of the month. Now we're eating peanut butter and jelly. But that's going to change today because the eagle has flown. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Thou shalt mount up with wings as an eagle, and thou shalt run and not be weary, and thou shalt walk and not faint. Can you say amen? They that wait upon the Lord. Where does that strength come from? It comes from spending time in His presence. And generally what it takes to get us to be that consistent is the pressures and problems of life. Because if those don't come, we get too busy. We don't renew our strength. We deplete our strength. We don't mount up. I don't know the poem. I can't quote it right, but I remember a man writing a poem because he had helped an eagle that had fallen from a nest because somebody had killed the mama eagle. And the eagle had fallen from the nest. He took the eagle home. He put it in a pen. And because eagles had been stealing chickens, it didn't have just have chicken wire around it, but it had chicken wire over the top. And so the eagle was raised with chickens. And the eagle just got out there. He began to grow. You could see his wings develop, this great bird that is designed to fly the heights. And here this eagle's out here with the chickens. He's walking around with the chickens, waiting on somebody to come and bring him whatever they fed him. And I'm sure it wasn't chicken feed. They brought him something different. But he's just eating with the chickens, sleeping with the chickens, living with the chickens. And he said he watched that eagle develop. And one day he began to look. And he knew when the time was right because that eagle began to look up through that wire on top of this pen that he kept his chickens. And he began to look up and see that blue sky. And you know what that's called? That's deep calling to deep. Realizing that you were not designed to just be an earthbound, helpless, hopeless soul down here without God's assistance. Can you say amen? You were designed for the heights. He wants to get us to those heights, not by just not having any steep places, but changing us, Terry, changing me and changing you, making our feet adapted to the steepness of the grade that we are on in our course of life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And as we wait upon the Lord, Amen. We go before Him for with everything that we need, everything that we are, for every breath that we take. We go before the Lord and we wait upon the Lord. We renew our strength and we mount up with wings as an eagle. He said he remembered the day when he took the eagle and he lured him out, and the eagle was now out of the cage, and he suddenly realized, I am not one of those. Amen. There's something different about me. Listen, you're not like the rest of the world. You're a chosen generation. You are, oh my God in heaven, you are a holy nation. And you are peculiar people. And I don't mean weird. Can you say amen? Like most people look at us. Peculiar in a very personal way. You are the redeemed of God. You have been washed in the blood of Jesus. You are going to sing a song in heavens, that in the heaven before the throne of God, that angels will be have to hold their peace. They can't sing the song of the redeemed. Can you say amen? They have not been redeemed with such a price, as precious as the shed blood of Jesus. But we're peculiar in that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are a holy nation. We are a royal priesthood. Amen? The Bible said, because of the cleansing of His blood, that He has made us kings and priests. And what privilege has the priest before the Lord? What great privilege. They could enter in and intercede. Amen? They could enter into His presence and pray. Because they were of a line of what? Priest. And God has made us kings and priests. Not kings in terms of like Him. No, but that we might reign in life. We don't have to be victims. We are and should be victors. Men ought always to pray, Luke 18:1, and not to faint. Hallelujah. Because in prayer we have access to the presence, and in the presence of God, we find everything that we need in that relationship with Him. Oh, He's so precious. He's so precious. I'm going to read you again what Oswald Chambers said. He said, our ordinary views of prayer are not found in the New Testament. We look upon prayer as a means of getting something for ourselves. The biblical idea of prayer is that we may get to know God Himself. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing with all the faith formulas floating around? So many things to not bring us into any place of intimacy with God. Everything is obtained through confession. Amen. Everything's obtained through just standing on the Word. Everything is claimed, received through just claiming a promise. And none of these things have anything to do with the intimacy with a person. And God said, I don't want you going after this, even your needs, any other way. But to begin with a relationship with me. This prayer can be said as it is written. But it's really the elements of this prayer. This is the pattern for all prayer. You never rush in and start asking Him for what you want or making demands. You begin with acknowledging an intimate, personal relationship with Him. Our Father who art in heaven. And then you revere Him. Hallowed be Thy name. And then you acquiesce. Unless you're a hard-boiled egg. Can you say, man, you acquiesce? You know what that means? Defer to His will. And you say, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. Can you say, man, you bow before Him, you acknowledge an intimate relationship with Him, you acquiesce to Him, amen. And then when you pray, amen, you can pray according to His will, because you've already said, I want Your will more than my way. You don't just try to use your faith to bend Him to your way, amen. You devote your heart, amen, until you desire His will. And then God can answer. Some things is just very clear. You pray to God, make you a soul winner. There's no way that there's any personal agenda in that. Unless, of course, you want to count how many souls you win so you could talk about it to other people and be held in high esteem. But I still believe God would give you souls, because He's not going to let souls perish that you preach to. Amen. Just because you take credit for it. Amen. But I do believe this. I believe somewhere, if you're really a child of God, somewhere along the way, there is a big fat trial ahead. To take that old hard-boiled egg and turn it into a soft-boiled potato. Can you say, or a softened boiled potato? We got a lot of eggs around, and we need more potatoes. Can you say amen? Because we're all going to get in the hot water. There's no way around it. I don't know what's coming next. Amen, but I know something's coming. Amen. Have you ever seen the light at the end of the tunnel finally, and you feel like I'm finally getting a breath from all of this pressure, and you see the light at the end of the tunnel? Amen. And you're ready to rejoice, and you find out it's a freight train. And you're back in the hot water again. I like what one person said. I really love this. He said, the essence of all prayer is a personal relationship with God, made possible through the redemption purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross and enjoyed by those who have put their faith in Jesus as their Savior and Lord and been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. In one sense, all prayer can be seen as an end in itself, the end of establishing and deepening relationships with God the Father and with Jesus Christ. In fact, such a fellowship of a relationship of intimacy with the Father, which involved both speaking to and hearing from God, is nothing short of a prerequisite for all effective prayer in every facet of the prayer movement. It is an end in itself because it pleases God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. All of these shortcuts. We live in the day of instant potatoes. We live in the day of microwave. We live in the day of, computers can't be fast enough. Remember the old computers? I mean the old, old computers. When you had to download something, you press a button, you might have been to go off and mow the yard. Can you say, man, if it's more than a paragraph, just go mow the yard and come back and the old computer's still grunting. An old computer sweating and working, trying to assimilate all this. And we think, boy, this thing is a technological marvel. Amen. And then we went to a higher speed, except for Dale. Dale lived back. I think Terry and Dale might be part of their septic tank problems. I think they're living way back. They live by a family. What's his name? Yeah, I know they had. One family on one side was Barney Rubble. And I think Fred and Wilma lived on the other side. Can you say amen? The Flintstones. That's exactly right. Because they had the old 40, the little old phone. I don't mean DSL either. I'm talking about that little phone wire. Amen. And Dale, what are y'all? Did y'all ever come into the 21st century? I'm glad you're here. Dale can finally answer emails and not have to spend the whole day, amen, answering. Amen. She can receive an email and not have to wait a week to get it through, especially if it has a big file with it. Amen. But we're in the instant age, aren't we? And boy, the church has accommodated everybody that don't have time for anything. We don't have time for anything. You can be sitting in a stoplight. If you're the first one there, people won't let you move your foot from the brake to the pedal. That's too long. I mean, honestly, it's too long. I know I'm not that old yet. I have left my blinker on, but I got a car that tells me when I do. You know, it ding, ding, ding. I said, what is wrong with this car? Ding, ding, ding. And it says the blinker is on. And I said, oh, amen. I thought only old people did stuff like that. Amen. It couldn't be me. But I think I'm pretty quick, particularly I'm in a hurry myself, so why should I tarry when the light turns green? I'm ready to get on and get with it. Amen. And I take my foot off the brake and go to hit the pedal, and somebody behind me is already honking their horn. It just isn't fast enough. Can you say amen? So we're looking for shortcuts for everything. I remember my dad was a truck driver, my stepdad, truck driver, and he stopped at a truck stop. He was making real good time, but he wanted to make better time. It was never fast enough. He said he was running above the speed limit and hadn't got pulled. He was ahead of schedule. But a trucker said, if you want to save an hour and a half, I'll tell you about a shortcut. And he said, oh, wow, a shortcut. That's what I need. Everybody's looking for a shortcut. Can you say, man? We want a shortcut to lose weight, don't we? Everybody's looking for the magic formula, the magic pill, where you don't have to, you can eat all the banana splits and nanner pudding that you want. Can you say amen and lose them pounds? That's the shortcut. I wish I could come up with a pill. In fact, I wish I could clone your metabolism. That girl can eat. That you say she don't eat much. Oh, I beg contraire. That girl can eat. And her daughter can eat because she inherited your metabolism. Amen. And she can eat anything. And she can eat any amount. And that metabolism just burns it up. Oh, if I had a pill. Amen. That could cause my metabolism to jump up like your metabolism. I'm telling you, I wouldn't go home tonight until I got me a banana split and a milkshake. And a box of Church's fried chicken. And a Diet Coke. Can you say? Hallelujah. So I can sleep good. You know, I got. Amen. Folks, I'm going to tell you, everybody looking for a shortcut. My stepdad got in that. He had a truckload of seafood. Lobster tails and shrimp, expensive stuff, right up there with steak. Truckload of it, semi-truck load of it. He took the shortcut. He's running along, 65 miles an hour, he comes to an overpass. It's got numbers on it. By the time you read those numbers and you're going 70 miles an hour, you can't stop the truck. Can you say amen? The truck is going under whether you got room or whether you don't. And it caught it about 3 inches down. And it peeled the top of that trailer like opening a can of sardines. And when he finally got it stopped, he's got a truckload of seafood, frozen seafood, out in the middle of the boondocks. And it's wide open to the atmosphere. It's all thawing out. And he didn't even go back. He took a bus. He got somebody to take him to a bus stop, and he come home on a bus. He did not even go back to his job, to see if he was fired. And to see if they were going to hold him liable for that truckload. He called them and said what he did, and then he hung the phone up before they could say anything about it because they were ranting and raving and carried on. And he just hung it up, said, I took a shortcut. Everybody's looking for a shortcut. We got all kinds of teachings out there that's teaching us how to take shortcuts from developing a relationship with God because we're too busy and we're not devoted enough to desire that. Amen. We used to sing it and we thought it was a great song to sing. Well, I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted from the Lord. Well, did God get what he wants from us? That never occurred to me when I first got saved, that God wanted something from me. Well, what did he want from me? A relationship with me. The just has suffered for the unjust that he might bring us to God. Amen. And sometimes trials, God just backs off and he gives us grace and he waits until we get to that place where we wait upon the Lord. We're going to be a hard-boiled egg or we're going to be a softened potato. And if we're a softened potato, God's not only going to bring us through, not only going to bring us out, make a way of escape for us, but he's going to work a work in us of new beginnings. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's going to spiritually renew us in the process. People that hold on to God through trials, amen, do not come through bitter. They come through better. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And they do not come through, amen, battered by the trial and beaten by the trial. They come through strengthened in their spirit. Who are these people that wait upon the Lord? These seekers that just get in his presence and stay in his presence and look to him with everything that's in them. It's people that are experiencing the pressures and challenges of life and they know their only hope is in the Lord and they grab a hold of him and they hold on to him tenaciously. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, you'll find me when you seek after me with all of your heart. There's no shortcut when you're walking with the Lord and in your relationship to God. We got church services that are so cut and dried. Amen. You got your little faith formula. You got your little, you know, 1 hour service. It ends in a gnat's eyebrow of 12 every Sunday. Can you say amen? Because people, I affiliate with ministers and I know there are churches that you can lose your job if it's a job. amen, if you go past 12 o'clock, because people get all kind of crazy and upset on the Lord's day if you go beyond 12 o'clock. And then we say, I wonder why the Lord won't send us a revival. Amen. It's because you won't let Him. There's no opportunity. I wonder why God never does anything supernatural, amen, in the service. It's because there's no time or room for the supernatural. We have to keep it condensed and keep it tight. And there was a time we could relegate that to certain denominations. It's not that way anymore. Can you say amen? Because we got a crowd of busy people that just dropped in to get their blessing, to assure themselves that everything's going to be all right, and they're ready to run and go their way. Jesus said these words, take them to heart as we get ready to close tonight. Beware, He said, lest your heart be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. Amen. When I first saw that, I visualized a party crowd down in Ebo City on Saturday night. That is not what He was addressing. This is going to get a lot closer to home than that. The Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man cometh. And as it was in the days of Lot, you can use that as a pattern for how it's going to be just before Christ returns. This is what He said they did. And this is what Jesus described. They ate. How many had a meal today? You ate. Okay. They drank. Now, my son used to drink. For 30 years he drank. And to him, drinking was alcohol. But how many had some beverage today? I'm not talking about alcohol. I'm just talking about, did anybody drink any water today? Thank the Lord that you don't get dehydrated in this kind of heat. Anybody drink a cola? Iced tea? Coffee? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Coffee is like jumper cables to me. I'm like an old car that needs a jump. If you give me the jump, I can run all day, but you just got to give me the jump to get me going. Can you say amen? Are you with me? Amen. Give me five. Hallelujah. Amen. My man, me and you and caffeine. Hallelujah. We'll make it, won't we, buddy? Praise the Lord. I'm glad it is. Listen, surfeiting, drunkenness, the cares of this life. Listen. They ate. They drank. How many of you are married in here? Wow. Don't look so sad. It's like, they married. How many are not married, but one day you think you could be? Possibly. He grabs your hand. I saw him grab your hand. Amen. You got to watch him. Amen. We turn the air off when he come in because he's a cool breeze. He's that cool. What's wrong with eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage? There's all kind of other sins that we could think of and we could see that they were committing in Lot's day and Noah's day. Jesus said they ate, they drank, they married, they gave in marriage. And they built houses. How many would like to have a home or an apartment? How many live in one? Amen. We had a guy that used to live out in the woods. We got our dog from him. He got lost in the woods. And a man who lived in the woods got us one of the best dogs we've ever had. Amen. And he's so sweet, and we love him. But he came out of these woods behind the church before they cleared it out. A man lived in those woods. What's wrong with marrying, giving in marriage, having a home, having an apartment, eating and drinking? You know what was wrong? They were so busy just doing what we do in life. They had no place, no time for God. They didn't look past the immediate moment. They were just too caught up in living to consider God. There were people like that in the New Testament, wasn't there? A guy whose barn was so full, amen, he couldn't hold anymore. And he said, I'm going to tear down these barns and I'm going to build me more barns. Bigger so I can hold all the wealth that's coming into me, all of the grain that's coming in. And Jesus said, thou fool. Tonight your soul is going to be required of thee. And who shall these things be? What made it sin was because it was to the exclusion of God. The only time God became relevant is in some dire emergency. They left God out. And they never gave Him a second thought. As long as they prospered, they stayed in the busyness of life. And the only thing that would stop them is to hit a major crisis. And God would rather us hit a major crisis than to have to send a judgment. Can you say amen? I would rather something happen to get my attention than to have a judgment fall upon me. Amen? So he said, beware. Beware lest your heart be overcharged with surfeiting drunkenness. That's not going out to the party crowd. That's just living your life and excluding God because I just got too much to do. I'm too busy to pray. I want a shortcut. I want an immediate, quick little formula for getting my needs met. Something I can recite. Something I can chant like a mantra. Some faith formula. And there are people out there that will give you these neat little formulas. And you just use those little formulas. You never establish a relationship with God. And if God quit, if you didn't feel like you were going to get something from Him, you wouldn't be in church on Sunday. Because there's no place for worship. There's no gratitude. God is just that beyond our self personality that can give us things for the felt needs, the immediate needs of our lives. We have no desire to get close to Him, to know Him, to get our hearts cleansed so we can have a personal relationship. And the message of repentance is not in the repertoire of the preacher in those churches or of the people who attend there. They don't have ears to hear it, so the preacher tells them what they want to hear. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And we have Laodicea right here in the 21st century. A church that says, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And Jesus said, you're wrong. You're poor. You're miserable. You're blind. And you're naked. God saw them differently than the world about them and they saw themselves. Can you say amen? First thing He did was tell them to anoint their eyes with eye salve so that they might see. See what? See themselves as they truly were. If they had of, they would have welcomed His message of repentance. Because He said, I love you. That's why I'm trying to shake you up. I love you. That's why I'm trying to shape you up. You're headed for shipwreck and ruin while claiming great victories. Because the Jesus that heals would have been welcome. Any Jesus that wanted to hold a healing campaign, they'd have opened doors and said, come on in. A Jesus that came there to bless them financially and give them more gold and silver, they would have welcomed Him in open arms. But Jesus came with a message of repentance. Amen? And the Jesus that with that message locked Jesus out. And it's creating a real problem for ministry today. Because ministers are going to hold that standard and they're going to call for repentance, or else we're going to drop the message of repentance to have the applause and embrace of the people. But it's not going to change what's going to happen if the church continues. By and large, in the Pentecostal movement, the church is headed for shipwreck while claiming blessings because they suppose something. They equate something. They suppose that gain is godliness. And you know what the Bible said about that? From such turn away. Can you say, man, not only don't get involved with it, but turn away from it because it's headed for shipwreck and ruin. I want to download something and bring it in and we'll get it up on the screen. I'm glad I'm in good company. I saw Leonard Ravenhill preaching on the web. Wow. Wow, I'm in good company. Praise God. I saw some of those men of God that knew God and walked with God, heard them preach. I'm so glad to be in that company. Identified with those people, praise God. This is not my Pentecostal heritage. This is my Christian heritage. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm glad to be counted among those who are persecuted. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be counted with Vance Havner, who said, I believe that I preach myself out of many pulpits. Can you say amen? There are places your preacher isn't welcome. Because they know I might just bring a message like I bring here. Amen. But we don't want Him upsetting the apple cart. Honey, the Word of God, preached in love and authority from the Bible, is not supposed to upset our apple cart. It's supposed to stir us. And motivate us and challenge us, hallelujah, to get in a right relationship with God so we can draw nigh to Him and He can draw nigh to us. You say, Brother Bimble, how will we know he's drawing nigh to us? Oh, darling, you will know when he draws near to you. Amen. And everybody else will know. Wow. When God came back to Israel, don't mess with them. Can you say amen? When they got it right with God, don't mess with them. Why? Because the Lord took up the battle. Hallelujah. Amen. David danced before the ark because it was more than the ark itself. They were back in a right relationship with God and they knew it. Hallelujah. And David said, boy, we got a cause for joy because we don't have to be afraid of nobody. We don't have to be afraid of the recession. We don't have to be afraid of what's going on around us. Amen. In that temple with that ark in its place. Amen. God said, you make your prayer toward this place. If there's no rain anywhere else, it's going to rain on you. I'm going to cause the earth, the heavens to open up. And I'm going to send you rains that will cause your crops to grow. If an enemy comes against you, they will never defeat you. It's not a matter of how many people you can put on the battlefield. The fact is that I will fight for you. Hallelujah. I will defend you. Praise God. And when they were back right with God and they were talking about the threatening enemies around them, he said, I don't want to hear anymore about the oppressor. Where is the fury of the oppressor? Let him come forward. Can you say amen? God said they're going to have to go through me to get to you. So quit being so fearful and terrified. Woo! Hallelujah! There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. Somebody say amen tonight. Will you play number 4 on there? Will you stand to your feet and let's give him praise tonight? Hallelujah. I don't want to just get answers. I want to get a relationship with God that when I come into his presence, hallelujah, his peace can overshadow me. Amen. Glory to God. His love can overwhelm me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to proclaim his word with boldness because I know he's with me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just give him praise tonight. Bring it right up. Let's just give him praise. Give him praise.